Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right, support for Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Manscaped just launched in the UK and in Europe, guys. You guys have gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can be one of the first men in England or in Europe to experience these life-changing products. Listen, guys, we've all gone through it. A lot of people used to use the same trimmer that they would use for their beard. They would use it on their balls, and it was, without fail, you would get your nuts cut. It happened to me. It's happened to a lot of my friends. We talked about it. We would talk about it over dinner. It was one of our most common discussions. It's a little weird, but, we all have gone through it and talked about it. So, no shame in my game. So, yeah, definitely, you would try I hope none of you tried, the straight razor, but you would use, anything to try to trim it up down there and make it look nice for the ladies. But, in the end, what would end up happening is you would get cut, you would get scraped, you would get, the redness and the stinging, and you would just, you would always end up with those straggling ball hairs that would just, I think they would just do more harm than good and just make it itch, in addition to feeling just not all, not properly groomed down there. And that's why Manscaped came to the rescue, because why would we still be living like that in this age of technology, when technology is just advancing at light speed? Why would you still be using an old school razor or a straight razor and basically getting really close to hacking off your own nutsack? Just get the Manscaped, razor, Manscaped electric trimmer. Manscaped redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected what is the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK and in Europe. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. And when I tell you this is premium, guys, this is premium. The battery will last you up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave when you take a long shower. And the waterproof technology will allow you to groom in the shower with no problems whatsoever. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for closer and more precise trimming. Now, if you're one of those guys that likes to turn the lights down low while you shower with yourself and get a little weird, hey man, this is right up your alley. That LED light will illuminate your nutsack and your private areas while you're doing that and listening to a little Sade while you're, taking a shower alone and shaving your balls. Listen, they've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology, which I gotta say, I love that name, but I'm not gonna elaborate on why. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. Yes, that means that while you are at work, working on your computer, you can have your phone plugged into your computer and charging. And at the same time, in the other USB port, you can have the stand and you can have it. You can have your Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 charging there right alongside with you. And when your boss comes by and asks, hey man, what is that thing? You can say, hey, I'm charging my ball hair trimmer. How you like that? Right here at work. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about efficiency, So if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Let's get that bush to tush clean. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. Make your testies their besties, meaning their best, Manscaped's besties. It's a little, whatever. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code YNM. Your balls will thank you.
crisis y nada más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. It is, Sunday, January 10th, 2021. This is our second podcast of this new year. And what else can be said? I'm here in the States. So 2020, we waved bye-bye to 2020. We said hello to 2021. And we had a solid few days of, situations, and then all hell broke loose, and I think we're going through probably one of the craziest political situations we ever gone through ever. And for you guys on the outside and other countries looking in, that was the U.S. you saw on TV going ape shit over there at the U.S. Capitol and in Washington D.C. What can you say? Let's not get into politics, but it's a wild ride, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wild ride. And I mean, crazy things happening. People did die, so it's not that much of a laughing matter either, but it's crazy shit going on. So let's stick with the things that are fun. And the things that are fun are definitely football. Yeah. Football, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're going to talk about here on the Nada Más podcast, and that's what I'm going to be discussing today. It's before we get into everything with the game this weekend versus Osasuna, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the podcast. Hey, so remember, you guys can always contact me at info@inadamas.net. We're still 100% looking for writers. We got our boy Trombach, who's writing for us all the way out there from Kolkata. He's doing a great job, and he's representing us out there. And we got a lot of listeners from India, I tell you. So it's pretty awesome, to have somebody from out there, helping us out. And, besides that, we're also looking for other writers to join us in this small team that we got here, but we want to continue growing. So we also want to have other opinion pieces on the website. The website, of course, is inadamas.net. And so we want to have more opinion pieces from other great writers, just like Trombach. But we don't want him to be the only one writing for us. So if you are interested in writing for us, please contact us at info@inadamas.net. And once again, I said the website is inadamas.net. That is our website. That's where you can find the articles that Trombach has written. That you can also find, the About Us story of myself, if you haven't heard, like, the first podcast or whatever. You can also find out, you can also listen to our podcast there if you do not listen to it or have no way of listening to it outside of the web, let's say, if you don't have a smartphone or anything like that. So, but besides that, guys, you can also contact us follow us on social media. We haven't been banned yet. So you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. So that's Y Nada Más Podcast and all three social media outlets. I'm pretty active on Twitter. I'm pretty active. Our team is pretty active on Instagram. And on Facebook as well, putting some designs and things out there for some news that's coming up. From news that's happening. So just check us out there and follow us, and tell your friends. We've enjoyed a lot of support from you guys, and I really appreciate it as we're growing. We're a growing podcast. This is episode 18, so we're still working our way up there, but it's been great having y'all on board. And if you enjoy the podcast, like I said, and are listening to us, I've said before, please, if you do follow us on Apple and, via the App Store or iTunes or whatever, please make sure you go on there and give us a rating and give us a comment, which helps us grow within the podcasting library that is iTunes or App Store or the Apple Podcasts library. It helps us grow in there and definitely allows us to be more, get more views, get more listens, and continue growing. So, you know, as you've seen, we've also enjoyed, thankfully, you know, we're now supported by a great company called Manscaped.com. You guys, I've already, you know, I already did the read at the beginning. So we've got a lot of good things happening here, and there's other projects in the works. So things are going well. I wish things were going as well for Madrid. So let's get into the nitty gritty. I mean, I guess I can play this thing, you know, the thing that, I always play when there's like a loss or a pinchazo.
Hostia.
Hostia indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We had a draw at Osasuna. And it's funny because I always get online and I always talk about, I always see, you know, obviously I dig into Madridistas that I feel are like always bitching and whining about something. I mean, you follow the greatest, you're a follower of one of the greatest football teams in the world, if not the greatest, you know, 13-time European champion, a 34-time champion of La Liga. And I understand that you have to be, I guess, really discerning and really critical, and you always demand the best from the team. You know, once again, I always say, you know, they're human beings, and even the best teams have to lose sometime, and even the best teams have to go through restructuring, and even the best teams have to go through ups and downs and issues like that. And this is one of those seasons, and I mean, it's been three seasons since we you know, obviously looked like the Madrid that everyone remembers. And I'm pretty sure, like, from what I've seen on Twitter, a lot of you guys are young that listen to it. And when I say young, a lot of you guys are, you know, Gen Z, millennials, whatever, younger than me. I'm 38 years old. So you may be following Madrid. You've been following Madrid maybe since, you know, probably some of you guys are older, but maybe you guys have been following Madrid since the Cristiano era. That's really the era that you knew the best. Or then maybe you are a little bit older and followed it through the Galactico era, and when people like Zidane and Roberto Carlos and Ronaldo and, you know, Beckham, you know, all, you know, the other guys that were on the team before Raul. And then maybe you were even further back, you know, in the era of La Quinta del Buitre, and then, you know, Hugo Sanchez. And, you know, there's so much history, you know. I don't know if many of you are further back to go back to, you know, Gento and Di Stefano and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's the amazing thing is that this is a team that has a lot of history and it's legendary. And so, but we've all, between all those amazing eras, you know, there's always going to be eras that are not going to be, that are going to be not as amazing, or they're the restructuring eras, or they're the eras that we didn't do as well. And I think this is starting to fall into one of those eras. And I wouldn't say it's a terrible era. It's just the era after we had someone like Cristiano who, you know, as of today, because the Juventus game already ended today, you know, already matched, you know, Bican for the highest, you know, the greatest all-time goal scorer. And it's without a doubt that Cristiano is going to overtake that number. And the majority of the goals that he scored to get to that number were all when he was at Madrid. So for a lot of us, you know, that era is something that is still very, very recent, and is something that I guess for a lot of us saddens us that they're not playing that same way anymore, or that the players that we had that were existed during that era are not playing, you know, are no longer, are either getting older and they're not playing to the same, you know, to the same level anymore. I would say they are, you know, some of them are. I mean, definitely Sergio Ramos is still a world-class player. Toni Kroos and Modric are still world-class players, as are Casemiro. I still believe Benzema is as well. But then I think the rest of the team, not that they're lacking. I think they just come in second place. Some are further lower than others. You know, Varane I put up there as well. You know, Thibaut Courtois I put up there as class. Carvajal. But yeah, we're lacking in certain things, and that shows. That shows in games such as this, you know, there's something that I reiterate that I kind of, and I still believe it wholeheartedly, after the last podcast, which was, you know, and I, like I said, I talk with a lot of Madridistas online, and obviously there's all this doom and gloom, but at the same time, there are the Madridistas that analyze things and realize, I guess, are a little bit more level-headed. And those are the Madridistas that I try to reach and talk to a lot of times as well, because it's not all doom and gloom, but what it is we're in an era right now where we don't have, you know, where these games where we play, it's funny, it's the games where we play teams that are at the bottom half of the table are the ones that scare us more. And this is speaking with many Madridistas online. Facing teams at the bottom of the table is far scarier than facing teams at the top of the table or mid table. And I would say I feel better for our chances playing against an Atalanta, who's, you know, do not have a lack of firepower in front of goal when it comes to Serie A. But I have, you know, more confidence us facing a team like Atalanta than I do us facing a team like Elche, or facing a team like Osasuna, or facing a team like Alaves, Huesca, I don't know, you know, all these other teams that are at the bottom of the heap when it comes to La Liga. And it goes to, you know, I was reading articles, as you know, I always read articles on Marca, I read articles on AS, I listen to, obviously, El Chiringuito, although that's more for, you know, just if you want to get involved in their banter and their stupid drama. But there's, you know, and then there's articles in the US websites, or the, I'm sorry about that, on the websites that are like, Managing Madrid or the Real Champs, you know, that talk a little bit more about, you know, us struggling against these teams that sit back and just absorb pressure, you know. Or the low block, as you want to call it, or, you know, however you want to say they just play defensively. You want to call it parking the bus, whatever, you know. And this is where I kind of was talking about last time. It's the same thing that I said in the last podcast, is I feel like what we have, while we have a solid and amazing midfield, and, you know, in Modric and Kroos and Casemiro, who played, again, were solid, you know, we are in a severe lacking of what I would call difference makers, you know, and difference makers, not because Modric and Kroos and Casemiro aren't, but that's not their job. Their job is, sure, to create, their job is to score goals occasionally, but they are midfielders. But then when it comes to our goal scorers, you know, we have a difference maker in Benzema, and then we have nobody else. And I'll say it again. I mean, we don't, it's not Asensio. It's not, you know, we should have it in Hazard, but he's still, I mean, and I was, you know, to put a, you know, I guess, to go against a little bit about what I just said. I mean, I think a difference maker, definitely, I think Hazard is one, but we still haven't, unfortunately, which I think is just bad luck. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel is, the issue with his situation with injuries, and he just got back to playing, you know, starting in the starting 11. And, you know, and he plays in a game like the Osasuna game, which, you know, is marred by other situations like the weather and things like that, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But I don't like to say that shouldn't be entirely to blame, you know. But I think he showed quality. I think he showed some spark that reminded me of the Hazard of old, and he just needs that confidence. And the thing is, unfortunately, he hasn't had a run of games where he has had the ability to, you know, get that confidence. I mean, he's had a run of games where he started looking well and then all of a sudden got injured again, you know. And so it was maybe 3-4 games that he'll have a run, and then all of a sudden he got injured again. So he hasn't had that stability that I think he would like to have at Real Madrid, and it's becoming definitely a concern. But let me be real. I mean, at the same time, we you know, the positive out of all this is that we didn't lose the game It was a 0-0 game, but that's nothing to really celebrate anymore. We're getting too many draws and losing points against teams that we shouldn't be losing points against. You would say that the upside is that we're getting the draw and then we're beating the sides that, you know, that are the tougher sides, but we're letting, you know, points slip against the teams that we should be, in a lot of ways, the points should be guaranteed, you know? Not to, how would you say, menospreciar, not not give merit to these teams that do well against us defensively, but it's more so that we are losing these points than these other teams are gaining these points. And I mean, it's not disrespectful, it's just that's the way it is. I think it's because Real Madrid is letting it slip because we do not have the players, and in my opinion, 100%, we do not have the players that can make the difference for us. Because when a team is blocking low, when a team is sitting back, the teams that win and the teams that are able to break through that are the teams that have somebody, you know, where it's, that's where the individuales come into, you know, the individuals, the moments where the flashy players, the players that are daring, the players that are have flair, the players that have no fear, the players that really are those, I would say, go at the defense like with reckless abandon and say, you know what, I have to throw the team on my shoulder and I'm going to score the goal now and I'm going to make a run at this defense because they're locked down. And what I see is that we continue to have that issue because what we do is just go from left to right, from right to left, from left to right, passing the ball from left to right, from right to left, and then just trying to cross it into the box, hoping that Benzema can score a miracle, or that when Sergio Ramos, you know, ends up turning into a striker and running up the field, that he's going to be the one who's going to solve the problem for us. And that's just not a way to play. That's just not a way to win a game. You know, we win against teams that have no interest in sitting back. They have no interest. They're going for the win as much as we are going for the win. And then we have the ability to break them down because our midfield is incredibly solid. And we, you know, I think Zidane's counter pressing has kind of reaped some dividends. And what we're seeing is that we can get the ball back, pressure the other team that is trying to attack, catch them out of position, and score. And that's what we've been doing with the tougher teams. We've been doing that with the Inters and with the Borussia Mönchengladbachs and the Sevilla and Barcelona and, the teams that Atletico Madrid, the teams that are the ones that we think we would lose points against, and those are the ones that we're doing well against. And then when the other team doesn't want to play, you know, tu-a-tu, you know, tete-a-tete, you know, they don't want to box. They don't want to sit there and go toe-to-toe with us and they're just going to sit back. Those are the teams where we're struggling, but it's because the spaces don't open and then we don't have anybody to open the spaces for us. Because at that point, what happens and what I think is what happens with Zidane's tactics at that point, and you know what, I'm still not the type of person that's going to hate on Zidane for his tactics. I'm hating on Zidane now more. And one of the things that is just starting to bother me more and more is his arrogance when it comes to subs, or his arrogance when it comes to his team selection, or not the team selection, I would say more to the subs, but his decision making when we want to make changes, and then who he puts in, you know, and then who he seemingly has faith in and who he does not have faith in. And it seems like he just doesn't want to be told who he should be playing. And I understand that, him being the manager, and he probably knows more than us. But at the same time, there are things that leave you questioning why he made those decisions, you know. And I'm seeing that in these types of games where we need to be more incisive, more aggressive. We need to have somebody on the pitch that is going to try and break down the defense and sitting back, that is sitting back. He essentially removes players that I think would be more of an asset and puts in players that would do nothing more than slow the game down. And I don't know if that's simply because I'm just wondering if Zidane, even has a plan B most of the times. And especially has analyzed these games over and over and over again of why we're not winning against these lower side teams that are defending and that are just low blocking the game. And it's and what happens is other teams obviously look at these at tape. They obviously look at games. The coaches of the other teams study these games. And what are they noticing? I'm pretty sure all of us know exactly how Zidane is going to attack the situation when the teams start getting defensive. And he's going to go from left to right, to right, to left, to right, and cross into the box over and over and over again. And it's always, you know, I'm going to play on the left-hand side and wait for the overlap from Mendy. Or I'm going to play on the right-hand side and wait for the overlap from Carvajal. I'm going to, you know, so either Carvajal is going to cross it in. In this case, we didn't have Carvajal. So either Lucas Vazquez is going to cross it in or Asensio is going to cross it in. In this case, them on the right flank. Or Mendy is going to cross it in, which his passing leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to those two crosses. And his shooting obviously leaves a lot to be desired in that sense. Defensively, he's very, very, very good. And then so then on the left hand side it's him or it's in this case Hazard, but Hazard was doing a better job of making the runs, and Luka Modric was going out wide and crossing into the box, but we weren't getting any of those trying to break in and make incisive runs. The only one that I felt was trying to do that was Hazard, and I liked what he saw. I liked what I saw from him. I liked the spark. I liked the attempts, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen for us. But then what happens is in the second half of the game, or in the second half, basically, and when it comes time to make changes, you remove Hazard. You remove Asensio, you remove Hazard. You go for the 4-4, what's looked like a 4-4-2 with the diamond, of course. But in the diamond at the top, you put in Isco. And this is the thing that bothered me the most is why? Why Isco? Why not Odegaard? The Odegaard was available for this game. And I know I was saying, Odegaard is probably, and I'm not 100% sure if Odegaard was going to make the difference. And the whole idea of Zidane not playing Jovic and Odegaard has some Madridistas that love these two players pissed off at Zidane and wanting him to get fired for that sole reason. And that's not the reason, you know, to fire anybody simply because they're not playing the player that you like. But in this situation, Odegaard was a far better option than Isco. And not only that, I don't understand why you would remove Modric from the field. If I think Modric was one of the better players on the field, I don't know. I mean, I would have put in Odegaard. I'm just being, maybe that's my own favoritism, my own playing of Zidane to not remove Modric. But I mean, yes, everyone's talking about his age and whatnot. So maybe, you know, but why would you put in Isco? Isco, who has not been performing, who has not done well, who has not been consistent, who just is a shell of the player that he once was, and not put in somebody like Odegaard, who is a creative player and can make things happen, especially in something like this where we needed some sort of creativity, where we needed some sort of, you know, I don't know, some sort of beautiful pass, filtered pass to the middle, you know, and you have two people on the field that could do that with either Toni Kroos or Odegaard and be more incisive, you know, and maybe, you know, and it was definitely a game where if he was going to remove Hazard, you know, why not put in Vinicius into the game at some point? And I know Vinicius for me is definitely not a guy that he's not a guy that's going to score. At least I don't ever expect him to. But he is always a danger running into the box. He is always somebody that is going to cause an issue. He is always going to make the defenders, let's say, if you want to put it in that term, he's always going to make them look twice, you know, because he's going to come rampaging down that left flank. He's going to try to cut inside. He's going to, whether his pass is errant or not, whether his pass is good or not, he is going to cause havoc. He is going to make them think twice. And you don't know what's going to happen with that opportunity that he can create in there, in that, I would say, that ability to sort of cause a little bit of chaos in the final third, which might open up opportunities for other players to score. And you needed that in this game. You needed that X factor. And I think Vinicius is always going to have that X factor. Whether he stays or he goes or whatever we're going to do with him, he's going to have that X factor. I believe Hazard has that X factor when he's healthy and he's Hazard. But right now, he's just not, he doesn't have that confidence yet. And Vinicius is one guy that I think, regardless if he has confidence or not, he's going to make those runs. And I think that to me is what we needed at this point. And what we needed too was another young creative talent like Odegaard to go in there. So, you know, I don't know. And I just don't know what the changes were for. And then bringing in, I understand bringing in Fede, because Fede is more attack minded, I believe he didn't come in and make a difference. Mariano's an industrious player, but he didn't come in and make a difference. Going from that, I think changing the formation there with the players he put in, I don't mind the fact that he changed the formation. It was who he chose to change the formation with that made little sense, you know? So it was like the team looked worse when he made those decisions. And it once again goes to kind of make you wonder. That's where you're like, there's got to be some sort of, to me, there's got to, that is starting to prove to me that there's got to be some sort of arrogance in Zidane where he doesn't want, I mean, because I'm sure he knows and he listens obviously to what the media is saying, and people are telling him what people are saying, and he knows what's being asked of him. The media asks him all the time about it. They're probably asking him why not go with Odegaard? Why is Odegaard not playing? They're probably asking him, you know, about the Vinicius situation. They're probably asking him about these things, and why he chose to go with Isco makes no sense to me, other than the fact that he doesn't want to be told. He doesn't want to be told who he should play with, who he should put on the field. So it's almost in a lot of ways sometimes annoying, because as much as I like the guy, it is in a way sort of like a, no, you won't tell me what to do. I'm going to stick with the guys that I like, and I'm going to make the decisions that I make, and let the chips fall as they should, I guess, you know, or as they may, whatever. And in this case, it didn't fall in our favor. And in these games, it's not falling in our favor. He just does not. And you know, and I know the whole the Jovic situation. I think at this point, I think Jovic should definitely, and I think it's already, I mean, I was reading in Marca, it's already been reported that he is going to, that Zidane has given the okay for Jovic to find playing time elsewhere. It's already been reported, I guess, that pretty much, you know, Jovic was not a signing that Zidane wanted. I don't think he has any desire to play him or has any confidence in Jovic. I don't see that Jovic is showing anything else other than, you know, has shown us the same skill set that he had when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt, and whether that's ever going to show up for us. But we need help in that sense. We need goal scorers. We need help in that sense. We definitely need somebody like Haaland. We definitely need another striker that can come in and cause some damage and score some goals. Because if Benzema is not scoring, or is having a quiet night like he's had for, what, 3 games now, then it's going to be a very tough time for Madrid, you know? And that's an issue. Because, and then, you know, I think Rodrigo getting injured was a loss, because I do believe that Rodrigo is a talented player and I like how he is on the right wing. And then obviously Hazard, where we still want to see him. Thankfully, he didn't get injured. Thankfully, he's not hurt. And now it's we have to see what is going to happen and how he's going to continue to evolve. And is he going to continue to play better? Is he going to get better and better and better and get some confidence back and start, you know, doing what the team paid him for? But there is just so much missing from this team. You know, just from midfield up. From midfield up, it's, you know, so from Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos upwards, it's anyone's guess, you know. Benzema has an off day, man. We're not scoring. And the only time that we've seen Asensio, and this is where the other thing becomes sort of an issue, is the only time we've seen Asensio performing is when he's playing as a left wing. And we've seen him in the 2 games where he was showing, where he scored in the last, you know, where he scored last time against Celta Vigo. And then played well against Athletic. They came from him playing on the left flank. They did not come from him playing on the right. On the right, it seems like he's disappearing. And that is going to cause, that throws like a, how we would say here in the United States, a monkey wrench into the whole situation, because you're not going to, if you're going to play Hazard, if Zidane wants to play Hazard, he's going to play Hazard on the left and he's going to put Asensio on the right. But we're seeing that Asensio, he doesn't work as well on the right as he is working right now on the left. And then what you have is a situation, if Hazard does improve and he is playing well, then you're going to have Hazard on the left. And if Asensio doesn't do well on the right, then you're either going to have Lucas Vazquez on the right or Rodrigo on the right when he gets better. But if Carvajal is injured, then you're going to have Lucas Vazquez as right back, and you're going to have Asensio as a right wing. And I feel in this case, we've seen that Asensio at right wing has essentially... he's essentially useless, or he's not playing well. So there's so many, you know, issues with the team up on the top and decisions to be made there in the attacking, with the attacking play. Because, you know, really in the midfield, and if we're going to control the game in the midfield, I mean, if against Osasuna, we didn't get scored on. So, you know, and we did a good job in the midfield and defense. You know, our defense was solid, obviously, with Sergio Ramos and Baran and Mendy and Lucas Vazquez, you know, did his job as a right back, but didn't offer anything else, and that's it, you know. And they're going to do well, and then the midfield is going to do well, and then we have nobody else to score for us. And I don't think, you know, it's going to be coming from, it can't be coming from Kroos, Modric, or Casemiro, you know, all the time. Modric is having a great season, but he can't be our goal scorer. I mean, he's never been a guy who's scoring buckets of goals. Neither is Kroos. Where it needs to be happening is from, you know, our wingers and our striker, and we only have one that I would essentially call a world-class player, who is Benzema, and then the other guys and up there are not guys I would rely on to be scoring each game day in and day out. So we're a long way, once again, going back to that conversation I was having at the beginning of the podcast, is we're a long way from what a lot of you guys that do follow the podcast and obviously came from the Cristiano Ronaldo era are wondering, what the hell is going on? What is going on? You know, people are talking about, remember the days when Madrid would score, we'd win games like 7-1 or 7-0 or 6-0 or 5-0 or whatever. When you would have just these really, really lopsided wins. And that was because you had three guys at the top that could score. So if the defense would drive themselves nuts trying to cover one of those guys and let the other two in. And then you not only had that, but you had our midfield three and Kroos, Modric, and Casemiro that could also, given the chance, could score. So that's what frustrates a lot of you. And I understand it, and I'm beginning to understand it more, although I always try to stay on the positive, and always try to remain positive. But that is the issue that I consistently see. And then we're against teams that low block again. It's just, there's no answer. There's no answer because there's no difference maker. And then not only that, Zidane doesn't seem to have a plan B where he knows what to do with teams like that. And maybe his arrogance affects him and where he says, no, I'm not going to play the players that the media and, pundits and, some fucking asshole on a podcast in Florida is going to tell me. I've never called on him to play Odegaard, but in this game, it's like you question why Isco and not Odegaard when Isco has done nothing for us in the last two seasons. I just can't remember a game where I was like, what a lifesaver he's been, Isco, I mean. And if you brought back Odegaard, then play the man. So that's my issue there. But does my issue with Zidane equate to me calling for his head? No. I think tactically Zidane is fine. But those are the types of things. I think there is a lack right now, unfortunately, at Madrid, there is a lack of talent when it comes to tough situations where teams just want to defend. And you need to have a creative, daring, reckless, different player. A player that is going to, as I say again, that term came up again, which is that difference maker. And you don't have that right now. You don't have anybody that's going to make the run into the box and just act a fool in there, and try to do something, try to make something out of nothing. You don't have those types of players right now. The only one you have is Vinicius. And I think if Vinicius had that same ability that he has right now and was a little bit better at making decisions and that was better with his finishing, I think he'd be a killer, but that's not where he is right now. And we can't be losing these points against these teams. So it's just absolutely annoying, It's annoying and it shouldn't be happening, but I don't entirely blame Zidane for it. Because I just think we don't have those players. We don't have them. We don't have that ace up the sleeve that we can bring in and be like, all right, man, you know what? The solution now is to pass it to this guy. Or for this guy to try and make something happen. And I hate to say it, but when I'm watching Barcelona, I see they have that. I mean, they're always going to have that difference maker in Messi. They're going to have, right now, I'm seeing some amazing things from Pedri, definitely have it when they have Ansu Fati on the field. Dembele can break in half at any point, but he can make a difference. Those guys will do that. They will be daring. And that's what you're starting to see them get that. They're getting that those dividends there. Where they lack is definitely in their defense isn't as solid, and I would say their midfield is old, and I mean, although Frankie de Jong has been, he's had some decent games, but he definitely hasn't been the Frankie de Jong that we saw at Ajax. But we'll see, but it's still like I'm seeing that more, and that scares me, because now we're letting, with every game we lose, with every game we draw against, teams that we should be beating, they get closer. They get closer, and not only do they get closer to us, but we get further away from Atletico, who is in the lead right now. With what? With like 3 games in hand? And we better hope they lose one of these games that is coming up. You know, I think they're facing Athletic. They're facing Sevilla, you know. So hopefully one of those teams takes some points away from them. But we can't be losing we can't be drawing these games, because it puts us at risk that if we draw these games and then end up losing the games, losing a game against a top-tier team, then we're going to be in dire straits. And we're super close to that. So I just don't know what else to say with that regard. And then, you know, there's so many other things going on at Madrid right now. I mean, obviously, the weather thing, let's talk about the weather thing for the weather criticism, I guess, with Osasuna, the Osasuna game. I think that's something that, you know, I haven't read much about it, except that they didn't, that, you know, I was reading that obviously La Liga's defended itself from from Zidane, saying that the game shouldn't have happened, but that Real Madrid never asked for it to happen. But at the same time, if this is going on and they're not allowing planes to leave the Madrid airport, and, you know, the weather is so bad, why would you force the teams to go through with it? So I understand that, but at the end of the day, if both teams are on the field, they're both playing in the same situation. So I really did appreciate, in a lot of ways, I'm the type of guy that appreciates Kroos's assessment, in the sense that, you know, he said that Osasuna and Real Madrid were playing in the same conditions. And in a lot of ways, you know, he said he felt they were missing something up top. They were missing that special ingredient. They were missing it at the top in the final third, which is what I've been saying in this podcast. We just don't have anything there. So he can, you know, he can have all the great passing statistics in the world, but if at the end of the day, those don't translate to goals, and, you know, the plays that he drives and creates don't translate to goals, then it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help us, you know? So he knew that, and at least he was honest about it, where, you know, the weather shouldn't be a factor. And I don't think, you know, Zidane should come out and say that. I mean, they should have been said beforehand. If you're going to say that, say it beforehand. Don't say it after the fact. Because, you know, if you're going to complain about the fact that, and you know, this was going on for a little bit. The whole situation with the weather right now in Madrid and in Spain, of the snow, has been going on for a couple of days now. And I remember reading earlier this week that, you know, the game could potentially be postponed. So if you knew that this type of stuff was happening, you as the coach and Florentino and everybody on the, you know, in the management side of Madrid should have been like, you know, we're not going to play this game, you know, and especially you know, the whole idea about the plane not being able to take off from Madrid. Listen, man, I'm scared enough with planes as it is, man. I have to fly on them for my job all the time. But I'm always worried as it is to be on a fucking airplane, man. So if you're telling me that I can't take off because there's bad weather and I'm looking outside and it's snowing like crazy and everyone's talking about how games are getting canceled because the weather is bad, and then you're telling me that the plane can't take off and that we have to delay it so that we can take off a little bit later, and I'm a Real Madrid player that's making a lot of money and basically, you know, has a lot to say and I can bitch about it, I have the power to bitch about it, I would say, man, we're not playing this game. Postpone the game to another time. Like they did with Elche. I think they did it with the Elche game. They did it with Atletico Madrid's game. You know, postpone the game. That should have, that though, if you're going to make that excuse that essentially is what costs you, you know, some points, you got to do that before the fact. You can't do that after the fact. You got to, you got to say, you know, we're worried about how, you know, we're worried about the safety of our players. We're worried about the conditions of the pitch or the conditions of the game. You know, and I would play up more the safety of the players and the fact that, you know, hey, the first time that a plane couldn't take off, you'd be like, nah, dude, nah, nah. You know, there's way more things that are way more important than football. You know, I don't want to freaking die on an airplane simply because I was trying to make it out to a game, you know? So for me, it was like, you should have addressed that beforehand. And then if you finally went through with the game, both teams are playing in the same conditions. And you can't tell me it's like, oh, well, Osasuna is more used to it. Because from what I'm hearing, yeah, I mean, it gets cold there, but so it snowed in Madrid and no one's getting the advantage really in that situation. No one is. And I think the one thing that you could say is they weren't able to train as well because of the snow in Madrid and all that type of stuff. But then once again, that should have been addressed beforehand. You don't address that and make an excuse after the game with that. That for me doesn't fly. We're not talking about like, you know, in CONMEBOL in South America, that a lot of teams obviously have that, that Bolivia has the advantage always when they're playing in La Paz because of how high the altitude is, you know? And then you can essentially say, yes, they do have an advantage when teams travel there because they're used to playing, you know, at that altitude and training at that altitude while the rest of the team is not, while the rest of the teams that fly in are not. The same thing happens with Quito. And Colombia uses it to their advantage when they play in Barranquilla is the fact that it's so hot and humid. They use that to their advantage when they play teams like Argentina, Uruguay, or whatever. They try to use that to their advantage. So that's different. But in this case, both teams were going through the exact same situation. So that excuse doesn't fly with me. And I think it could have cost us. Obviously, you saw it on the pitch. You know, the game just seemed to drag out and it just seemed we're like frozen, you know, like the cold just bothered everybody. And so at the end of the day, the game ended up 0-0. And I think that was a fair scoreline for the way both teams were playing. But essentially it shouldn't have been, that should have been a game that Madrid could win, you know, that they should win. But I go back to the fact that we don't have difference makers on the team when teams are playing against us like that defensively. So that's my assessment on this whole thing and all that. As for what else is going on, obviously there's the issue obviously with Real Madrid and the Ramos situation. Look, I was talking a little bit earlier this week on my Twitter and everything. If you guys want to follow on Inada Mas podcast, I was talking about, you know, the situation with Ramos and this whole idea about him wanting to leave and him threatening to leave. And he's done this before, I believe, with when he supposedly had that deal with the Chinese team and then he had a deal with Manchester at one point. And it's always been sort of a ploy to just kind of get a better contract. And I don't like when players do that. I understand that they deserve all the money in the world. Some people will say, but I'm like, when you're making like $12 million, $15 million, I mean, it's a little suspect to me to act like that. But, you know, whatever. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, they deserve the money. They deserve everything, you know, all this shit. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, you see other players that don't pull that kind of crap. But I'll say this, we definitely need Sergio Ramos. So, you know, and one thing I did agree with was that, you know, I read this great article and now I can't remember where I read it. But I believe it was on Marca or on Us. I don't remember. But it was on one of the two big publications in Madrid. And I should have written it down because it was great. I'll look for it and see if I can post it up for you guys. But it's basically kind of what Ramos means to the dressing room in Spain and how he's really defended the team in a lot of times. He's gotten, you know, he's already gotten in altercations, well, shouting matches and things like that with Florentino before about things that he's said or whatever he's disagreed with. And he's in a lot of times he's gone to bat and the team recognizes it the locker room. It was his importance in the locker room that they recognized that Sergio Ramos is really your defender in the locking in the locker room. He's not only the defender on the pitch, but he's the defender in the locker room when he feels the players are being treated unfairly or certain things are going on in that regard. You know, with Florentino or something, he'll make a stand and he's not afraid to do it. So essentially what is important there is that you can tell that. And you could tell that a lot of people, it's not just that he's a leader on the pitch, it's that he's a leader for the team, and he's essentially a, how would I say, he's an icon for the team at this point. He is your, what you would call in the United States, your franchise player, where he is essentially the person that people think of when they think of Madrid. Obviously, that was Cristiano when it came to goal scoring, but if it comes to the heart and soul of Madrid for the last 12 years, I would say, or more, Sergio Ramos is one of those guys. You know, he's up there, you know, he's up there with the Raúls and the Hierros and the Di Stefanos in the sense of what they mean for the crest of Real Madrid, you know, and I would say he's even more so because he's vocal. He's got that very tough nature about him in the sense where he is, in a lot of ways, the way he looks, you know, right now with the beard and that, you know, that whole Viking sort of look being on, you know, Los Vikingos, it's a good thing. And it seems like the rest of the team respects that and really does take to that. So Ramos, his fight, in this sense to remain with the team and want, the argument is either that he wants 2 years, right, at the same amount that he's getting paid now, although, you know, obviously we know that Madrid has a rule of not renewing for contracts for more than 1 year when the player is over 30. So he wants 2 years with the same he's getting paid now, but Florentino would either offer him, or what the argument is that they would offer him 2 years with a reduced salary or 10% reduction, or they would give him the 1 year extension with what he's earning now. And neither one, or it seems like those are not the ones that fly for him. The 10% reduction doesn't fly with him. It seems like the argument right now is the length of the contract. What he wants is to be on board for more. And I'm one where it says, you know, I will say this. I believe in the club, like I said, is more important. The club on the back, the name on the front of the shirt is more important than the name on the back of the shirt. If they can't come to an agreement, then it could be that it's time for, you know, Ramos to go somewhere else. Although it doesn't seem like that's really what it is. I really think at this point, if you want to keep, you know, he's sort of the last, aside from Benzema and Marcelo and Modric and Kroos, who are, you know, and those guys, but even further back, I would say, you know, it's, you know, those guys that have been there longer in the sense of Benzema, Marcelo, and Ramos, him and Benzema are the ones that are still, you know, staying at that, still have maintained that level in their play. Marcelo is not there at all, and which pains me because he's such an amazing player, and he's such a cool guy too. But at this point, those are the only two guys that really have that very, very essence of Madrid, I would say. And so you're wondering, does Madrid break their rule of the extension, the contract extensions in the sense of time for Ramos? And a lot of people, and I know a lot of you would argue yes. But at the end of the day, if the club feels like it sets a bad precedent, then they're going to protect their assets. And at the same time, also, we're in a different situation where we're dealing with COVID, and, you know, Ramos should understand why, you know, they don't want to give him a certain amount of money. Then the other thing I read is obviously a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, if, you know, they're considering this Alaba deal, but, you know, they won't renew Ramos for what he wants. Well, nothing's set in stone with Alaba. And from what I've seen, he wants just way too much money. And I would, you know, I kind of put it there. I would just, you know, wave him bye-bye and say, dude, you're crazy. It's not going to happen here. And just throw everything into keeping Ramos. Because at this point, you're not going to find, I mean, Alaba's great. I would love to have him at the team. But if he's going to be charging an exorbitant amount of money, then it doesn't make any sense. You know, there was a great thread, which I shared on my Twitter about the, you know, the financial situation of Madrid. And it's not that it's bad, but it's not great. They've lost a ton of money over the because of the COVID pandemic. And although with good, you know, they've managed to turn some profit, although minimal, but there's not money there to be paying an exorbitant amount of money for Alaba. And especially if we don't even know if he's going to fit, you know, he's a great player, but will he fit? And will he bring the same passion and heart and love for Madrid that Sergio Ramos has shown us over all these years? I doubt it. I don't think that Sergio Ramos is a mercenary in the sense that he's only playing for money. You know, his mouthpiece seems to be his brother when it comes to these types of things, which isn't a good thing because, you know, sometimes, you know, all these things with siblings, your siblings will sometimes say shit that you wouldn't say things. You know, we've seen that with Cristiano Ronaldo's sister. You know, we've seen it in other areas of life where, you know, I think Toni Kroos's brother said something too recently. I forgot what it was, but it was where Toni Kroos had to come out and say, my brother said that, I didn't say that. So essentially those things have come out, and sometimes them being managers or being in the public eye doesn't always help you because they will do their, they will say shit because they're your sibling and they want to protect you, but that doesn't always, that's not always good for business if you are trying to do something in business and it makes you sort of be, get embarrassed by it. So in this case, I think the whole situation with Rene Ramos and retweeting Alfredo Duro, who could be a total dickhead, it just you know, it soured an already sort of iffy issue right there with Madrid, who apparently don't even want to deal with Rene Ramos anymore, who's Sergio Ramos' manager, and that's gonna cause some issues. And I hope we can renew him. And then you have the situation with Lucas Vázquez, who doesn't want to renew, and that kind of bothers me because it's like, dude, as much as I like Lucas Vázquez and he's grown on me this last year of how well he's doing, it's like, and I'll say it right now, it's like, bro, come on, really? You're having a good season, so you think you deserve more than what you're getting right now during a pandemic? You know? Like, who are you, bro? Like, yeah, I mean, I like you and I like what you're doing with the team, but I guarantee you guys, like, yes, I don't want to lose him because, again, he's a guy that sweats for Madrid and loves Madrid and everything, and I don't want to lose that type of person. But if there's anybody that's expendable on the team because you can essentially find somebody else that is going to play better in that position, might not have the same heart and soul for Madrid as he does, but will play better in that position, Lucas Vázquez is that guy. So for him to be demanding things, you know, is crazy to me. So, you know, we have all this extracurricular stuff going on too now, which is just insane. And we'll see where it goes. And I think, you know, also the situation with Benzema, again, you know, that's this whole 2014 blackmail thing coming up again, and he has to go to court and go to trial. I mean, all of these things are going to affect Madrid in different ways. And I, you know, what started out as a solid 2021 for Madrid is going the way of the U.S., is going the way of the democracy of the U.S. right now, where it's all questionable, you know, like where everything just seems like it's, like it started out all right, and now it seems like it, everything's fucked up. So it's weird, you know, we're trying to see where everything's going to go, but have faith, Madridistas. I do think that Ramos wants to stay and will end up staying. I hope him and Florentino can, you know, let bygones be bygones and, you know, and we can get this renewed because I just bought a poster of Sergio Ramos to throw in my studio here. And, you know, the last thing I would want to do is now, like, when I start shooting some video stuff, have a poster of a guy who's no longer on the team. Although, I mean, I have Ronaldo and Raul's on jersey in the background and stuff like that and old pictures and things like that. But I just got it, you know, just got the poster. But anyway, man, guys, you know, thank you again for listening. I think that's where I'm at for today. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this, you know, this podcast and you know, loving this podcast and supporting this podcast and liking it or not loving it, but liking it, you know, anything like that. All that is something that I appreciate greatly and our team appreciates greatly. So keep supporting, keep listening, tell your friends to listen. Remember to find us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Eat Nada Mas Podcast. And then you can also find us on the internet at inadamas.net. That is our website. And you can also contact us at info@inadamas.net. Remember, guys, that we are looking for writers. So if you are interested in writing for us, please hit us up. Do not be afraid to hit us up. Also DM us, whether it's on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. We are looking at those and we will listen to that. So hopefully you guys can contact us. And once again, guys, thank you for listening. Please, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, go into Apple Podcasts, into our page, and leave a comment, leave a rating, and that will help us greatly. And that's it, guys. That's all I can say. That's all I can. That's what I have here. Remember that the podcast is supported by Manscaped, the very best in below the waist grooming, guys. So check us out if you are interested in their products. Really, guys, they have a lot of amazing products. I've used them. I have them, you know, I have their lawnmower 3.0. I have, you know, the different products that they have, the different deodorants and things that they have there for your nuts. So check that stuff out, guys. Really, it's a solid company. They're doing some great things. So check them out, guys. For those of you that want to, you know, manscape and groom down there, get 20% off and free shipping with the code YNM at manscaped.com. And that's it. That's it, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, our podcast is, I'm going to be releasing every Sunday evening, which will be Monday morning for some of you on the other side of the planet. And that will be our schedule for now. It's going to be one podcast a week. So that is the schedule I want to stick to. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. And let's hope things just get better and continue better. All right? Stay safe out there, guys. Bye-bye.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.